Now, Pastor Tom will get to this portion of Scripture in Matthew soon, so I'm certainly not wanting to take away from what he will be able to provide for us, because he will no doubt exposit much more deeply than I will today. But it's a topic that is always a good reminder for us. The type of job that I do, this is truth for me. So certainly, as I'm speaking it to you, it's certainly truth to me as well, especially on this day of the week. And you'll kind of understand what I mean as we get into it. But Sundays for me are a day of rest, but also it's a day that I start thinking about Monday. And if we're honest with ourselves, we probably all think about that. So we get done with afternoon service, and we feel good. And as we approach the week, some of that goodness may start to go away. So if I'm not speaking to you, you can take a nap. But we'll read from Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, and sorry, I'm not used to these yet. This is the first time I spoke with these glasses, so these are just readers. So if I look like I'm being condescending, I'm not. I just can't look at y'all and see who you are without reading this clearly. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for tomorrow what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I've said this before, one of the benefits of being pianist is you get to pick the songs that we sing before the messages. Now, I usually don't know what Pastor Tom preaches, so sometimes it is just the Lord's working that out, that we sing a song that has anything to do with what he's preaching. But obviously this afternoon I knew what the topic was, and so we sang Great is Thy Faithfulness and Day by Day. And then Jana was able to sing Consider the Lilies, which certainly goes along with our passage. So it's beneficial that I can hopefully prepare our hearts for, as we hear God's Word, what songs we sing in preparation of that. But as I was preparing for this message, as we're able to, our office staff, before we begin the day, we have a time of reading God's Word and devotion. And this past Wednesday came from this passage. And so it's always a good reminder when I read this passage because of my tendency to worry. But if I could title this, it would be saying to myself, don't be anxious about tomorrow. I read one author make the statement. I think it's good for us to keep in mind as we go through today's lesson. Today's mercies are for today's burdens. Today's mercies are for today's burdens. Now, that sounds overly simple, and we would say, of course, we know that, but do we believe that? Or better yet, do we live and act like we believe that? I've said before that as we sing songs, we don't need to be casually singing through them, but they really should be truth, and the songs that we sing, hopefully, here most of the time are from God's Word, or at least inspired by His Word. And the last hymn that we sung, Day by Day, hear this, the first verse. This is the end of the first verse. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Now, my lesson is not about this song, but it brings up several good points. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, and of course we know who that he is. Do we believe this? Or that the Lord gives us pain and pleasure to each day as he deems best. Now, we don't always agree enthusiastically with what God deems best for us, and it's hard to feel that he's kind beyond all measure when he gives us pain. Causing pain is not generally equated with showing kindness, especially if God's measure for one day is a lot more than another day. But it's true. God gives each day his wise and loving measure of pain and pleasure. Listen to a very familiar passage that Brother Robert referenced this morning. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The lamentation reminds us that there is fresh mercy from God for each day's appointed pain. Today's mercies are not designed to carry tomorrow's burdens. There will be mercies tomorrow for that. Today's mercies are for today's burdens. But what about tomorrow? What will become of our children? Will they become believers? What will become of our health? Will we lose our hair or lose our memories? Who will take care of us? Will we spend our final days in a nursing home? What will become of our marriages? Will we be there for our children? Will we be there for each other? What will become of our church? What will life be like tomorrow? What will tomorrow bring? Will we have the strength to live tomorrow when it comes, and to live it well and wisely and even joyfully, no matter what God's measure of pain and pleasure? The strength to live tomorrow will be given tomorrow, not today. And it will be given. God promises us that. Our task today is not to have the strength needed for tomorrow's burdens. Our task today is to live by the mercies given for today and to believe that there will be new mercies for tomorrow. Today's mercies do not include strength for tomorrow. They do, however, include faith that tomorrow's unseen mercies will be sufficient for tomorrow. These truths are important for the Christian life, no matter what age we are. It's important because of how natural and strong the impulse is in our hearts to want to feel sufficient today for tomorrow's challenges. How many of us at the end of the day look at our mercy gauge and it reads empty? We try to sleep, but have this sense of uncertainty because we feel powerless for tomorrow's trouble. If we go on desperately needing to feel today the strength for tomorrow, then it is likely that we will cave in under the pressure of excessive anxieties. This is not the way that God designed it for us. Can we talk about anxiety for a minute? And this is where it comes in for me on Sunday nights. What's ready for me tomorrow? And y'all, I know, feel the same after having a weekend of rest. What's tomorrow going to look like? What is the root of anxiety, and how can it be severed? Well, for that, we need to look back at our passage. So look again at Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to look at a common word of the next four verses that I'll read. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can can add one cubit unto his stature. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And then verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And the common theme there is how we think. Take no thought. And where do usually our anxieties originate? In our mind. How we think about things. And the verse that makes the root of anxiety explicit is verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? In other words, Jesus says that the root of anxiety is lack of faith in our Heavenly Father. As unbelief gets the upper hand in our hearts, one of the results is anxiety. Now, we need to be clear here. Anxiety does not mean that you are without saving faith. It means there is a lack of faith, not an absence of it. A passage of Scripture that we have taught all of our children, but one that we regularly remind the younger ones, is Psalm 56:3. It reads, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Notice it does not say, I never struggle with fear. It says, what time I am afraid. Fear strikes and the battle begins. So the Bible does not assume that true believers will never have fear or never have anxiety. Instead, the Bible tells us how to fight when they strike. For example, 1 Peter 5:7 reads, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Some translations use the word anxieties there for that word care. So it would read, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. It does not say you will never feel any anxieties to cast on him. But what if you are that person that struggles with daily anxiety? What if you question your salvation even on occasion because you struggle with so much worry? Well, we must deal with anxieties by battling unbelief. And you battle unbelief by meditating on God's Word and asking for the help of His Spirit. Both are necessary, the Spirit and the Word. We read the promises of God and we pray for the help of His Spirit. It's sometimes easy to quote passages like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But it's only by meditating on God's Word and help from the Holy Spirit that our belief grows strong and the hold on anxiety loosens. One of the greatest things about being a child of God is that God does not want His people to be anxious. If you're born again, if you've turned away from sin and are following Jesus in the obedience of faith, His will for you today is that you not be anxious about anything, but that you enjoy a deep calmness and peace and security. You may say, but you don't know what I'm going through or dealing with, and that's true. But it does not negate what God has promised. He didn't promise it to everyone else, all of His other redeemed, and then expect you to just deal with your problems and issues alone. We were reminded earlier from several verses in our passage to not be anxious or take no thought. By using imperatives like that, don't be anxious, we see the negative way of stating the point of the passage. But let's consider the positive aspects that give us reason not to be anxious. Let's see why God's people should not be anxious. The first is given in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Well, what does this mean? Why do we tend to get anxious about food and clothing? We get anxious about food and clothing because we don't want to lose physical pleasures or human praise or length of life. and look to the latter part of verse 25 for Jesus' response. He says, essentially, if you're gripped by anxiety over these things, you've lost sight of the greatness of life. Life was not given primarily for physical pleasures, but for something greater, the enjoyment of God. Life was not given primarily for the approval of man, but for something greater, the approval of God. Life was not given primarily for existence on this earth, but for something greater, eternity with God in the age to come. The second reason Jesus gives us for not being anxious is in verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Simply, what we see when we look at the birds is a creature who does not act as though God is only a merciful provider for today, but won't be tomorrow. Birds don't anxiously hoard things for the day of God's judgment. They go about their work as though when the sun comes up tomorrow, God will still be God. How much more then should we deal with the reality and mercy of God tomorrow, since we are not birds, but children of the Heavenly Father? The third reason not to be anxious is in verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And we would say that in today's vernacular, what good does that do you? Okay? The argument here is very sensible. Anxiety doesn't get you anywhere. Whatever problem is causing you to feel anxious, you can be sure your anxiety will not lessen the problem. It will only make you more miserable while you try to deal with it. Anxiety is useless. The fourth reason Jesus gives for not being anxious is in verses 28 through 30, this time from the lilies. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And when you look at a lily, you must draw at least this one conclusion. God delights to adorn things. But if his delight finds expression in adorning grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, then surely his delight in adornment will express itself even greater in how he clothes his children. The fifth and sixth reason why a follower of Jesus shouldn't be anxious are given in verse 32. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Anxiety about the things of the world puts us on the same level with the world of the Gentiles, who at that time were the unbelievers. It shows that we are really very much like the world in what makes us happy. And that ought not to be. It also shows that we don't think our Father in heaven knows our needs. Anxiety may reveal that we are too close to the world and too far from God. The world has nothing to offer. And your loving Heavenly Father knows your needs now and forever. The seventh reason not to be anxious in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, and you can look back to verse 32, what all these things are, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you seek the kingdom of God first, he works for you and provides all your needs. And the last argument is in verse 34, which reads, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As we mentioned earlier, God has appointed each day its portion of pleasure and trouble. We cannot misappropriate God's allotted troubles for tomorrow. Don't bring them forward into today in the form of anxiety. Believe that God will be God tomorrow. Now, this passage doesn't mean make no preparations for tomorrow's needs. almost everything that is worth doing requires some forethought and planning and preparation. And Jesus said that in Luke 14:28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost wherewith he has sufficient to finish it? The point of Matthew 6:34 is not, don't make wise preparations. The point is, don't bring the troubles and uncertainties of carrying out those preparations tomorrow into today. So what does Jesus mean when he says sufficient in verse 34? Some versions say the word enough. Then what does Jesus mean by enough when he says sufficient? He means that your sovereign heavenly Father, who is kind and wise beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best, and lovingly its part of pain and pleasure. Each day's troubles are enough. They are sufficient because God determines their limit. God decides what is enough and what is sufficient. We can know some of the pressures that are coming tomorrow, and part of our job may be to make some preparations for them. Those preparations are part of today's sufficient trouble. But how those preparations will turn out tomorrow, and whether you feel strong enough today to do your part tomorrow, that is not something God wants you to carry today. Those are tomorrow's burdens. God does not give mercies today for bearing tomorrow's burdens. This is a freebie. We've had about 4 or 5 patients, very close family members in our practice, die in the last 2 weeks. And so, of course, as a practice, that's hard because those people become like family. But we don't go into tomorrow thinking that we're going to die, do we? And if we're honest, we don't think that. So tomorrow's my day of death, so I've got to prepare for that today. That's not how we think. Well, that is true for everything else that tomorrow brings that we don't know about. Even the things that we do know about, we don't need to bring them into today to worry about. When we worry, we cross the line from faithful preparation to unfaithful anxiety. We cross over from dealing with today's sufficient burden and begin to borrow tomorrow's troubles. And that is spiritually very dangerous, because today's mercies are given by God for today's burdens only. So where do we get the confidence that God not only gives the trouble to each day that is sufficient for that day, but also the mercies which are tailor-made to carry out that day's trouble? Well, we read it already, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Our confidence comes from the phrase, they are new every morning. Each day's mercies, each day's kindnesses are given specifically for that day. Think about that and let it sink in. His mercies are new every morning. Well, why are they new every morning? Why does God do it that way? It's not because yesterday's mercies were bad or weak or unable. It's simply because they were yesterday's. Yesterday's mercies were for yesterday's burdens. Today's mercies are for today's burdens. They are new every morning. They are like the manna in the wilderness. You can't keep it overnight. Enough comes for each day. You live on God day by day, or you don't live on God. Listen to the second verse of day by day. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. A special mercy for each hour. The mercy to carry you through this hour is given in this hour. How many times in our life do we come to the end of our resources and say, there isn't anything left. I am depleted. One more straw and this camel's back will break. And we despair that tomorrow will just be rolled onto today's depleted condition. And in that moment, we desperately need this truth. God will not expect you to carry one more straw with these present mercies. When the next straw is added, the mercies will be new. This should be incredible comfort. So we must not compound today's load with fretting over tomorrow's. We must not doubt God and say, I have nothing left, so tomorrow will be impossible to live. That's not true. You will not be asked to live tomorrow on today's strength. What you need today is not tomorrow's strength, but today's faith that tomorrow's mercies will be new and will be sufficient and enough. And that was wordy, so I'm going to read it again. What you need today is not tomorrow's strength, but today's faith that tomorrow's mercies will be new and will be sufficient and be enough. And it is not in our own merit that we trust tomorrow's mercies will be sufficient. We can't trust in our abilities or talents, our knowledge or intellect. Tomorrow's mercies will be sufficient because God said so. Faith stands on the promises of God. So we wait and we hope in patience and sometimes in weakness, but definitely in peace. And that waiting and hoping is part of today's mercy. Part of today's mercy is the ability to trust that there will be sufficient mercy for tomorrow. And we trust in that because God promises it in Lamentations chapter 3. Listen also to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we are honest with ourselves, we will confess that the battle still rages within us regarding this promise of daily mercies. We want the feeling of adequacy today for what we will have to go through tomorrow. But that is not what God promises. God essentially is saying, trust me, I will give it to you when you need it. Today's mercies for today's troubles. Tomorrow's mercies for tomorrow's troubles. I'll close with this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 25 through 29. Thy shoes shall be like iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. The troubles and the mercies are appointed day by day. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly. It's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Let's stand and we'll